Welcome to the Calgary Sessions. This is episode number 98. I'm your host, Jeff Humphreys. Today's guest, I have no idea what I'm getting into right now. Our good friend, Salima, she wrote me. She's like, you need to have this person on. I was like, all right, I trust you. So I have a very loose understanding. It's not disrespectful. I understand how talented you are. I know nothing about you. So please name and who you are.
Well, my name is Zenon. I am a local artist here in the city. I would classify my music as alternative R&B.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So this is like, you've seen a couple of these.
A couple of them.
So you kind of understand what's about to happen. What I find fascinating sitting across from artists is just, they usually have their stories, they're so different. And that's why I love sitting down with artists.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You hear so many different life experiences and how they shape us and how they lead us to, you know, kind of where we are today. And mm-hmm. I definitely think that everybody has their own path that's so unique and so interesting to learn about. So I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, and I think what's, for me, like I never really fit into a spot.
Mm.
Like school, I was just never, you know, I had my like things that I did, but I didn't really fit this like path, this like career path. Mm. And that's why I think I really connect with artists because they also don't fit the traditional path.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why these are really fun for me because I'm like, see, if I would have had somebody like you talking to me when I was a youngster, I'd be like, okay, this is kind of normal to want to go down a different way. So anyways, that's my random spiel, that why I enjoy sitting down with artists.
Well, awesome.
So that's, this would be great. So take it back as far as you want to go. I'd love to know like how you grew up, where you grew up. Obviously, we're going to get into music, which is going to be rad for me.
Sweet.
So, just take it back as far as you want to go.
All right. Well, I was born and raised here in Calgary.
No shit. Really?
Yes. Born and raised.
Awesome.
I love it here. It's, you know, it's home. And when I was pretty young, I started in music right away. Mm. It's always been, like, if we're going to take it back as far as I was doing music.
We have no clocks. We have no timers. I want you to, like, take it where it feels very natural.
All right. Well, when I was probably around the age of, I think, like, 4 or 6, I started in the Calgary Girls Choir here, which I don't even know if they're actually still around today.
They gotta be.
I assume they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was all like very classical choir training.
Yep.
And it was fun. You know, I was a kid, so I kind of didn't really like know. I was like, this is a fun thing that I'm going to do and like mm-hmm. meet some friends. And my parents wanted to get me into after school activities.
Okay.
And you know, it was great. I had some wonderful teachers, made some wonderful memories. But it was classical music.
Yep.
And so there was a little bit more of like a regimented thing to it. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Why do you think why'd your parents want to put you in music? Do they have something, do they have a background or was there?
Well, I don't know if it necessarily was my parents wanted to put me in music. I honestly would have to ask them that because my parents are, I'll just start by saying my biggest supporters, which I am very, very blessed to have that. Mm. I know that, you know, that's not always the case when you're an artist.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that maybe they had some input, but I loved music as a kid and they are also huge, huge music lovers. Mm. My dad plays, the harmonica, like an absolute beast. Mm. And my mom, you know, she's got Caribbean blood. So, you know, music and dancing it's in her.
Mm.
And growing up, music was all over the house always. Like if there was a moment of silence, it was surprising.
Mm.
Yeah. So maybe they had kind of like a little bit of an agenda. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, because they've always been so supportive and I've always loved music, you know, I wanted to do choir as well. Mm. So
do you remember pre-choir, like the music you were hearing around the house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Music that I would hear around my house was literally everything, like all the time. We listened to a lot of world music. One of my dad's favorite artists is Salif Keita, which is an African artist.
Okay.
We listen to like blues, like B.B. King. My parents are big, big blues fans. Mm. I didn't listen to a lot of like the Caribbean style music growing up, but you know, there was definitely like those influences that kind of got like woven into what we were listening to.
Yeah.
Also then, you know, once I got a little bit older, I started listening to, you know, pop and stuff like that and kind of fused my own way in there.
Yeah.
But it was always everything as a kid. But a lot of world music, actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I took you off the path already.
No, it's okay. It's great. Yeah, yeah.
So choir. So this is early. You started choir.
Yeah. Yeah. Very early. I think I started at the age of 4. Mm. And in choir, it was great. I was having a good time, but I felt like I was kind of missing an element. And even though I was a young kid, I remember kind of feeling like I want to do more on stage. Like it's fun to sing, but yep. I feel like I was kind of like trapped literally in between rows of children.
It's all squealing.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, we had to sing like exactly this and do exactly this.
Yep.
So I think once I got a little bit older, maybe around like 7 or 8, I started doing theater.
Hmm.
Yeah. And theater became my one true love.
No way.
Yeah. For a really long time.
What? So at that age, I have no idea, but at that age, what are your, like, where is it? Like theater houses, like these kind of, like, where do you take theater at that age?
Yeah. So when I was that young, it was a lot of summer camps. Mm. And so there was one summer camp that I spent almost every summer at called CYPT. It was the Calgary Young People's Theater.
Okay.
I don't know if they're still around. Yeah. And then also the Epcor Center, which is now where Arts Commons is based out okay. of. Did a lot of summer camps there. Hmm. And they were just like theater summer programs where they would put a bunch of kids who needed somewhere to go in the summertime, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would put on productions, big or small. You know, I remember with CYPT, it was run out of like an old fire hall building, I'm pretty sure, off of 16th Ave.
Okay.
And it was like the dinkiest little place. But they were really, really fun. Mm-hmm. We would just like make them up as the kids too. Like the cool. volunteers and the instructors would like let us kind of just go with our whims as children. And then some, you know, they would obviously like bring back some structure to it. And then at the end of the summer, I vaguely remember the programs were maybe like a month long, maybe 2 months. At the end of them, we would put on a production for all of our parents.
Cool.
Yeah.
Why, when you say it was like your true love, what was it about that environment that like brought you alive?
It was the stage. Mm. It was the stage.
Like, and you like being at the front of the stage
yeah.
with some lights on you.
Yeah. It was always that like feeling of being able to stand there and like all eyes are on me.
Mm.
And it's interesting because like as a kid, you have no conception of like fears and inhibitions like that. And so it felt really natural to me. I didn't even start thinking about like the nervous parts and aspects of this whole loving the stage thing, honestly, until I was, you know, a lot older in like high school. We'll get there.
Totally, which is different because I think even you say it like so like confidently that, you know, I didn't understand how to be shy or be nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I was like the exact opposite.
Oh, yeah.
I was so shy from like day one. So that idea from any age till today is like freaks the hell out of me. So
yeah, I was a really outgoing kid.
Mm.
Things have changed a little bit. Mm. I think I had a shift when I was again like up in high school and college.
Yep.
But as a kid, I was very loud, very loud child. I would get in trouble a lot, especially in class.
No way. Just like,
you know, she's actually just a little bit too loud in class and we need to take it down a notch. It's distracting to the other kids. But I guess that, you know, translated well into theater.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That just like being on that stage and being able to project my voice too was always a really good thing to have for theater.
So what happens after this like 7-8-year-old theater class? What else is going on in your life?
You know, it's so interesting. I was thinking about this on the drive home yesterday and I was like, do I even remember being a child? Which is so interesting.
But that's a very interesting thought because if somebody were to flip the script on me, I would have a tough time. There's a lot of years. There's a few moments I remember.
Yeah.
And some like personality traits, but detail wise, I'm pretty vague.
Yeah. Like I know that at the same time I was young. And so my parents were getting me involved in the things that they enjoyed too.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things was skiing. My parents were avid skiers.
Yep.
So we did that in the winter, which was always fun. Mm-hmm. I have absolutely no funds to do that as an adult. but I really enjoyed it as a kid. It was fun.
Yep.
Got me outside. Mm-hmm. They're also, my parents are very active people. And so biking, I'm an only child. Mm. So I did everything either with my parents or with my stuffed animals.
Safe spot.
Yeah. I really enjoyed reading as a kid too. Yep. I definitely think that a lot of that stuff was, it was fun, but it always, always has come back to music for me. Hmm. Yeah. Cause even when I was doing the theater, I started eventually doing musical theater, and that translated definitely back into music pretty nicely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So like junior high.
Junior high. I went to Branton, which is a French immersion junior high here.
Where is it? What's it called, sorry?
Branton. Mm. Yeah, it's in the Northwest.
Okay.
My mom, she was, although born in the Caribbean, she was raised in Montreal, and so she really wanted me to learn French as a child and as an adult, to know a second language, especially considering Canada is bilingual.
There's that.
Yeah. So junior high was junior high. Like I don't even remember really like enjoying a lot of school. Mm. School was never the top of my mind.
What was the top? Like if it wasn't school, was it just being anything outside of those walls?
I definitely think that music was always top of my mind. Mm. When I was in junior high, I was kind of boy crazy. Mm. If I'm being 100% honest,
like good.
I look back on my journals as a young
you
teen.
Them?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Which is great. They're fun to read every once in a while.
But it was boy driven.
Yeah. I was just like, write about my like random crushes and my random classes.
Have you, written those into songs by chance yet?
You know, I haven't really explored it. Mm. No.
So it's not a no.
It's not a no, you know, maybe one day, but some of them are just so ridiculous. Like I'm sure they have some good material.
Some one-liners.
Yeah. Just like one here and there. But I definitely think as like a cohesive whole, it's probably a little bit dramatic and ridiculous. And then I had some really good friends when I was in junior high, followed a lot of my friends from elementary school to junior high, because we all were in a French immersion elementary as well. Mm. And so we all went to the same school, that whole, like it's in your area or your sector or whatever. Yep.
Those friendships, have they kind of lasted the test of time?
Not at all.
Just like a moment in time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I don't think I'm friends with any of the people I was friends with in junior high. And I only have one of the same friends I had from high school.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think there's something really beautiful about that too, because I definitely think that building those relationships, obviously they shape who we are as people.
Yep.
And there's so many people that I remember having like such good times with in junior high and high school. Mm-hmm. And it was always so fun and it was always so ridiculous. And although we, you know, aren't close now, I still really cherish a lot of those memories.
Yeah.
You know,
It's there's just so many different experiences to have through those years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just
some are up, some are down, some are sideways.
It's all of it all the time. Musically, at those ages between like, you know, junior high, high school, are you doing things like outside of school? Are you like high school choir style, or what are you up to?
Yeah. So junior high actually is when I'm still doing a lot of the musical theater summer camps, like in the summertime.
And like lead stuff, like.
Yeah. So I remember the one that we did at the Epcor Center. I'm fairly certain I was in junior high. We did a musical called Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know that one? Mm-hmm. I love that musical. I think to this day, it's still one of my favorites. And I played the shopkeep owner, Mr. Mushnick. Yeah. So that was one. I was one of the Three Amigos also when we did the Three Amigos.
Awesome.
Yeah. And actually at the end of elementary school, we also put on a play at my school, a musical. And I was Jasmine in Jasmine and Aladdin.
Mm.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. So it definitely carried through. Those roles were really, really important to me. Mm. And I loved it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So junior high is like, junior high school is like a lot of things outside of school, like just being involved in the music world outside of school.
Yeah. Junior high also joined the Youth Singers of Calgary.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're a triple threat group in the city, singing, acting, and dancing.
Hmm.
And they're, I don't know if you've heard of the Young Canadians.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're like rivals.
Oh, no way. Same.
Same kind of thing.
And performing in the similar like circles and...
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Mm. So every spring and every winter, Youth Singers would put on like a big production at the Jubilee. Yeah. And so we did like the Nutcracker one year. And then with You Singers, it was a little bit more vague because it was really about the singing and the dancing. Mm-hmm. And then in between there was the acting.
Yep.
And the acting roles with that group went a lot to the older kids just because that's kind of how it worked with the company. So I joined in junior high and I stuck around until I think the end of junior high. I might have actually joined in elementary school now that I think about it, but stuck around for a long time.
And what was it? It just filled you up? Like it was just...
Yeah, you know, I think that as a kid, I was always just so quiet otherwise. Like I was outgoing and like loud and bubbly, but there was like this internal part of me, kind of like what you were saying earlier, that you didn't feel like you fit in.
Yep.
And so although I was like putting on kind of like a mask and like making all these friends and being so outgoing and bubbly, I still felt this like really weird shyness about me. It's almost like a nervousness. Like I definitely would class myself as an anxious person. And so when I was a kid, it came out as like anxiety, as like loud and bubbly, and I have to be fun for all of my friends. Right.
Yep.
So because I still felt that when I was doing like singing and dancing, it was just like all of those things went away. Like everything, nothing, none of those things mattered anymore. And I was just comfortable being able to sing and use my voice in a way that was easier for me. Right. And so I think that's why it carried on for so long throughout my life and why it really kept pulling me back.
So why'd you leave that group? What was the end there and where'd you go?
So I left the U Singers of Calgary at the end of junior high because I had to go to high school. And when I was making my decision on what high school to go to, I was kind of like, okay, I can either go to my designated high school, which was Eberhardt, or I can go to a new high school and pursue an arts program. So Central Memorial High School has something called the Performing Visual Arts Program. So you can do theater, you can do choir, you can do dance, and you can do visual arts. Yeah,
cool.
It's actually a great program, and I had a lot of fun. I mean, when I went, and I had a lot of fun with it, and so I decided to not go to my designated, which also meant stopping French, and I decided to pursue that program at Central, and also as a result, because I was pursuing that program, it required more of that outside school time, because the program is implemented into your like your regular curriculum at the high school, but they also, you know, if you're going to be in the productions and you're going to get involved, you have to take that after school time and put it towards that. And so I had to quit U Singers because of it, because I just didn't feel like I was going to be able to balance it all.
When you high school is an interesting time, you know, as you're trying to find yourself.
Definitely.
And, you know, you're exposed, you're in a new school, a new area, and. But to be surrounded by, or to have a bunch of creatives around, feels like a different environment than like a traditional high school. Like when I think, when I went to high school, which was like way, way before you, there was like, you know, there wasn't the option to go to like a creative environment. Yeah. So did it fuel you? Did it cause like chaos? Like,
you know, I feel like high school was a weird time. I got very depressed in high school. And I think it's because that's when my perspective kind of started shifting. You know, I was talking about earlier, as a kid, you're so inhibition free. None of those nerves and things really exist externally. And when I got to high school, you know, puberty and all that other stuff in between kind of started really coming into play, and I started getting really outwardly anxious. And that's when I kind of started retreating a little bit more. And I wasn't, you know, because people were now no longer being like, oh, like Zenon is the loud, funny kid. Now they were like, oh, Zenon is the annoying, loud kid. And because of that, I was kind of like, oh man, like this is not, I don't feel good about this anymore. And so I feel like that was kind of a distraction from, you know, being able to really revel in the environment of those creatives. Because I definitely think that if I wasn't so internally focused on that, that kind of sad, solemn feeling, it would have been a really, really great, like kind of push and guidance further into it. But because I didn't feel necessarily fully accepted by everyone, and, you know, kind of also, like you mentioned, it was a new school, and so I didn't bring any of my old friends. I had to meet completely new people, too. It definitely, I think, hindered some of that some of that creativity and that drive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you still like all in on the idea, like music, performing? Did that start to, you know,
waver?
Because what you're going through and just the.
Yeah, I definitely think it started to waver a little bit, but I also feel like it was kind of like a shift in focus too, because I started thinking about the fact that I was in high school too, and that after high school, you got to go to college. And so when I started high school, it was like all of these different emotions of like, you know, I no longer have my friends. I have to start thinking possibly about my future. I'm trying to meet new people. I'm feeling really not like I don't have the same support system, and people aren't, you know, I guess per se liking the mask I felt like I was putting on as much. And then on top of that, I still want to pursue this art thing, and I still want to pursue this performance, but as like teenagers, there's so much going on anyway that, you know, that naturally you're kind of questioning things. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where the age of questioning begins.
Yep.
And so I was definitely kind of like, I don't know, like, is this what I want to do? But I was also still having a lot of fun doing the productions and meeting the people that were involved in the program with me. Like the one person that I'm still friends with from high school, it's because we like stuck to each other like glue on the first day. Mm. You know, he came up to me. I was like kind of to myself on the bleachers, and he was like, hey, my name is Emmett, and you know, nice to meet you. And I was like, oh my God, someone's talking to me. Thank goodness. Because I was feeling like that personality of being outgoing was no longer working for me.
Right.
So that was really good because, you know, we kind of had each other's backs throughout high school, and he was also in the theater program with me. So we were able to do a lot of that stuff together, which was great.
Are you working during any of this? Like, did you have to like get a job through high school or anything?
No. So my parents, again, bless their hearts. I have really supportive parents. Every time I was like, you know, all my friends have jobs, maybe I should get a job. My mom would actually say to me, you don't need to have a job. You need to be a kid.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that like now as an adult, I'm like, wow, that was extremely, extremely lucky of me to have. Yeah. And so my parents wouldn't let me get a job, actually.
Great. To just be a kid.
Yeah. They were like, just enjoy it. Just have fun. Mm-hmm. Which was amazing. And, you know, that's what I was trying to have fun. But some of those other things were coming into play too. Mm-hmm. But it was still, you know, like some of the productions we were putting on when I was in high school were a little bit more in depth than the stuff I was doing in summer camps previous to that.
Yep.
And so, you know, they would pick like a specific play or musical, and then they would split the kids so that, because some of the, you know, not all kids can sing and dance. Mm-hmm. Nor do they want to. Yeah. Some of the kids are like, I don't really want to sing and dance, so don't make me, because I'm in high school and it's awkward and weird. So they would split us into the theater and then into the musical theater.
Okay.
And so they would pick one production for each category. And I think the first year was Peter Pan. And I got to play Tiger Lily from Peter Pan. And that was actually the first moment in my life that I realized that I had experienced typecasting, which I don't know. Have you heard of typecasting?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like based on, you know, maybe physical features and that, as opposed to actual abilities as an artist. But, you know, I wasn't totally aware of it. And then I was like, wait a minute. I was Jasmine. I was a Three Amigo. Now I'm Tiger Lily. And so some of those thoughts also started to kick in for me as a kid and as a teenager. And I was like, what does this mean? Like, how does that feel to me? And I kind of started exploring a little bit more of, you know, my mom's history as well. So those things were also kind of coming into play as a teenager, but not fully yet. I feel like I was still kind of in the dark and not totally knowing, you know, which side of myself per se to embrace. I definitely feel like growing up, like here in Calgary, I grew up with predominantly white friends, to be honest.
Yep.
And also only my dad's side of the family. My mom has her mother, her dad passed away when she was quite young, and then she has a brother. And at that time, they were living in Montreal. I think my grandmother moved here. It's got to be like almost 20, no, like 15, 10, 15 years ago now. Yep. So then that's when she entered my life. Mm. And I was like, more so, you know, we visited her when I was a kid, but I didn't see her as much. And I kind of got introduced a little bit more to, you know, my mom's side of you know, her heritage and her side of the family. Mm-hmm. So she, and you know, I mentioned the Caribbean, she was born in Trinidad and Tobago. And so getting a little bit of exposure to that through my grandmother also started coming into play. Yep. And then kind of these thoughts of like, where do I sit as a person? And as a teenager, I don't even think I knew what biracial was. But in my head, I was like, okay, I'm not brown, but I'm also not white. There's like something in the middle here. And that then also kind of started rolling into me feeling more like I didn't belong and more of that, like, you know, oh man, like what direction am I going? And I kind of felt like just like floating in the middle of this like weird feeling.
Yep.
Yeah. I still think I'm navigating that, to be honest.
It's and to have like, those are heavy questions, obviously, at a young age to like try and figure those out. Mm-hmm. Plus all the other things that are going on.
Yeah.
It makes sense why someone could feel a little lost or kind of...
Definitely.
Yeah, because that's a lot going on at a young age.
Yeah, yeah. And at the time, I was just like, oh, I'm so sad and I'm so depressed and I don't know what's going on. Because as a teenager, I didn't really know what that looked like.
Well, nobody talks about it, right?
Exactly. Especially, I definitely think that even when I was in high school, it wasn't as prevalent to talk about as it is today, too. Sure. Like, I definitely think that, you know, with Gen Z, I look at Gen Z and I'm like, you go. Like, hell yeah. You guys are talking about the shit that we did not talk about when I was even a teenager, let alone, like, my parents as teenagers.
Totally.
Yeah, so that was kind of what was all going on in high school at the time.
So what happens after that? Perfect segue, by the way.
Oh, great.
Fucking teed that up.
So after, you know, I'm getting ready to graduate high school and I have to pick a college. But, you know, at the time, it's funny. I'm just going to like jump ahead in time a little bit.
Go wherever you want.
So I think it was like a year into college, my mom and my grandmother and a friend of hers, we did like a little mini road trip to Vancouver one summer. And I remember being on the beach with my mom and kind of like kicking around sand and being like, you know, I don't know if I ever really wanted to go to college. And she hits me with, you know, you didn't have to. And I was so flabbergasted. I was like, wait, that was an option? But, you know, kind of reeling it back, I'm in high school and I'm like, I have to go to college. I didn't even think about asking my parents whether or not I had to because it's just like so ingrained in us by society that
it's a given.
It's a given. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like a lot of parents, especially, to be honest, especially immigrant parents, there's that expectation of you're going to college or you're going to university.
Yep.
So I didn't even think it was an option to maybe not. And when I started looking into it, I was like, well, you know, I was kind of into biology. Like, the brain fascinates me. Like, wow, it's such an incredible, like, tool and also can do so much. Like, I think the stat is we only actually access, like, 70 to 80% of what our brain can do, which is wild to me. I'm like, how do we get that other, like, 20%?
You let me know when you figure it out.
yeah, please. But so I was kind of like, what am I going to do? And I also really enjoyed cooking. And I was like, cooking. And then I was like, okay, let's be honest. I've always done music and performance. Performance really was the thing that had always, you know, carried me through my youth and my teenage years. And so I started looking at music colleges. There was Humber in Toronto and then McEwen up in Edmonton actually had a really good program. And so I was like, all right. Let's do it. Like, I don't know what else to do. And so I started applying. And a lot of these colleges, you have to have music theory training. And so I'm kind of like, all right, like, I remember when I was in choir, like, when I was like six, we learned some music theory. And some of it has carried over, like, performing in musical theater and stuff, but not all of it. Like, I wasn't studying it, really. I was more so studying like the performance aspects in theater. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of like, okay, I don't really know music theory, but let's see what happens. So I applied to Humber. There was another college out east. I can't remember the name of it. I applied to McEwen. And then as I was researching music colleges, I came across a college in Boston, Berklee College of Music. And when I came across Berklee, I was like, this is interesting. I was like, oh my God, John Mayer went here? And then I was like, whoa, Susan Tedeschi went here. And Susan Tedeschi is like one of my favorite blues artists. And I kind of started seeing all these big names. And I was like, wow, like I could I go there maybe? And so I talked to my parents about it and they were like, whoa, like sending you to the school in the States is a totally different ball game. And they were like, but if this is really what you want to do, we'll figure it out. And I was like, you know what? I'm probably going to apply and I'm not even going to get in. So I applied. And when I heard back from almost every single college, they were basically like, you don't know any music theory. You got to take a proficiency theory exam. And so I did that for every college. And the majority of them came back and they were like, you're all right. Like you, I remember when I was in at the McEwen, cause we had to drive up there for me to take the exam. Your
parents, by the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Just slide that in there.
Oh, absolutely. I know it every day. I'm glad you slid it in there again. Yeah.
Instead of you, I'll do it.
So when I was taking that exam, I remember sitting in the room. There's like maybe 20 of us in the room. And I remember writing my name and then looking at the first question and being like, I don't know the answer to this. Flipping through the, like, I think it was like a 10-page exam. Being like, I don't know any of this. So I just answered, I think, like the first two questions on the first page and then brought it up and was like, that's it. And the guy was like, you didn't do any of the exam. And I was like, I don't know any of the answers. And he was like, all right. I think McEwen's actually the only place I didn't get in.
Wait.
Yeah. So I guess I kind of just gave away the punchline. But one night I was sitting in my bedroom and I got an email from Berklee.
Crazy.
And, you know, I called my parents down and I was like, all right, like, we're going to find out. Like, we opened the email and I got accepted.
Because it's like, I know a little bit about mm-hmm. this and Berklee's like one of the places.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's...
Definitely. Okay. It's a bigger name. Yeah. I honestly don't talk about it a lot. Mm-hmm. It goes one of two ways. Like, you know, you go to that college to get that name yeah. on your resume yeah. and to be able to frankly use it.
Yeah.
That's... And I do think it has warranted me some positions and some mm-hmm. accolades. But I think it also comes with a little bit of a price tag, for especially sure. when it comes to interacting with other musicians. Mm. Sometimes being like, oh yeah, like I went to Berklee is mm. not well received.
Yep.
And I think it does come back to the fact that like this industry is very saturated and it can be a little bit competitive.
For sure.
Yeah. So I don't open with, I went to Berklee.
Yeah, totally. You want to be friends?
Yeah, exactly. It's not my opening line for sure.
Huh? Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So I got in, but there was a caveat. I had to do a summer course before they fully accepted me for the fall semester mm. for theory. So I took that summer course and it was kind of hell on earth. Because I was like, I kind of know some of this, but I also have no idea what I'm doing at all. Mm-hmm. Had to go through, relearn my scales, relearn, you know, how to read like the musical staff. So like the treble clef, the bass clef, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And then there was some ear training stuff. And I was like, oh my God, you think I have perfect pitch? Like you're going to play that note. I can sing it, but I can't tell you what the note is. but I ended up getting in and mm-hmm. I went in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And
wild.
Yeah. That's, I feel like that's where things really begun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Get into this. This will be,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, bless my parents' hearts. My mom came with me.
Cool.
And again, bless her heart, but she also for sure came with me because I'm her only child. And she was like, I'm not sending you to Boston alone. She was like, I will be living there for a month with you. And I'm kind of like, okay, like I don't really want you there, but also... I'm really glad she was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking back on it, I'm mm-hmm. like, wow, I'm so thankful you came with me mm-hmm. and like so grateful to this day. So yeah, kickstart it, get down to Boston. I'm in the US. It's like a whole new world for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly kind of overwhelming. And you know, I remember like the first day of orientation, I was like, wow, remember when I was in high school, I didn't know anyone? Now I really don't know anyone. Like, they've got international students coming from, like, Osaka and, like, in Japan. They've got international students coming from Argentina. They've got lots of Canadians. And they do have, like, quite a few U.S. students.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a big school, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm kind of overwhelmed on orientation. And I'm like, how is this even going to go? But, you know, I guess I kind of just like fell into it because you have to. Mm. And
it's intimidating. Are you like, you know, when you said before the industry is competitive, mm-hmm. you know, get thrown in that environment where you're like,
oh yeah,
beside some of the who's who and like very talented people. Did you feel that?
Yes. 100%. Yeah, yeah. 100%.
You're looking around the room. You're like,
I'm like,
am I the worst one here? But the person beside you is probably thinking the exact same thing.
Exactly. But in that moment, I'm like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm terrible. All these people are incredibly talented.
I'm from Calgary.
No, exactly. I'm like, this person has been like singing since they came out of the womb. I don't know.
Their mom plays and wherever, like yeah. dad plays wherever. And
yeah. And there was a lot of students that had, you know, parents in music. Mm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
There you are.
Yeah. There I am sitting in orientation. And then I got my roommate assignment cause I was living in the dorm. As an international student, you have to live in the dorms for your first year, mm. which I actually think is really great implementation. and I ended up meeting my first roommates, and we stayed roommates for a while, and it was great.
Yep.
I love them. Classes started, and it was a whirlwind. You know, kind of going back to the, you know, is it intimidating thing. Once those classes began, I was kind of like, whoa. Like, I don't know if I really know what I'm doing here.
I don't got this.
Yeah. Very much, I don't got this. And some of those feelings of inadequacy and you know, sadness from high school kind of started creeping up a little bit again. And then also to get in front of, you know, other artists and peers and sing for them and hear what they're doing, then I'm thinking, like, I shouldn't be here, right? And that I think that carried on for probably, like, the first year and a half.
Yep.
But as things progressed, it definitely got a little bit better. Mm. I definitely think that some of the nerves that I have on stage now, actually almost all of the nerves I have on stage now, are when I'm performing for my peers, like my fellow artists.
Yeah.
Because it's when I'm performing for, you know, a crowd of people, when I have no idea who's in the crowd, I'm like, I don't know if you're an artist or not. It's fine. Like I can just, it comes back to, you know, me being a kid and being on that stage. And even when I was really young, I used to go into the backyard and I would grab our like broom from the backyard and I would sing like I would use the sidewalk we have as like my stage catwalk.
Awesome.
And I would put on like mini concerts for the neighbors and they would sit outside and they would just watch me and they'd be like, it's like having the radio on. And it was never intimidating.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then when I got to college and I was in front of these other artists, I was like, whoa.
Do they part of the education, do they talk about managing those feelings? Like, is there
no.
It's just all like hit your fucking note. Read this properly.
Really and truly, yeah. Mm. Yeah. I was lucky enough that once I got into my second year, once you get into your second year, because you have to pick an instrument, right? And so my instrument was voice.
Okay.
And once I got into my second year, I started working with a one-on-one coach. Mm-hmm. And so grateful that the coach that I got, we clicked right away. Cause you know, sometimes they put you with a coach and you're like, oh, I got to try someone else. But we clicked really, like really well. Mm. And she actually helped me navigate some of those feelings, cool. which was incredible. But I definitely don't think that like, it's not implemented into the course. Yeah.
Like, is that kind of weird though?
I think so.
Like,
I think it's bad.
or is it? It's almost like that, like those hard lessons that you got to learn at a young age that kind of set you up. Because you don't want everything like easy breathe. Like, listen, talking and probably explaining where you're at is probably healthy.
Yeah.
But you probably don't want everything like handed to you as you like.
Oh, absolutely not.
So there's probably like, probably a middle ground somewhere in there.
I think there's a middle ground for sure. Yeah. Like I think especially like as international students too, like coming from. I was only coming from Canada. I couldn't imagine coming from somewhere more international.
For sure.
And having like the culture shock to also deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I know there was like counselors on campus. Mm. I ended up seeing one of the counselors, I think like a year in because my grandmother passed away.
Mm.
And so it was more so like about that.
Yeah.
But like they're they're college counselors. They're not necessarily, mm-hmm. I guess it depends what you are expecting out of counseling sure. too, yeah. right? Like yeah. I could go on a whole tangent about like mental health and stuff too.
Go wherever you want.
Cause I definitely think that like mental health is something that's really important for me to advocate for because mm-hmm. I struggled with it,
yeah.
you know, from, I would say from like a young age of like the early junior high to like now, right? And so I do think it's really important to have those avenues and those people that you can still talk to. Mm-hmm. I definitely do agree with what you said though, right? Because you still have to learn those hard lessons. But I think that when it comes to certain things, not having anyone to go to and yeah. having someone to, you know, say things to and even just like a sounding board
yep.
can be like a really negative impact and can create this like certain sense of spiraling internally, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I feel like something that I talk to my therapist all the time about now, which bless her heart also, she's very helpful. She always says, you know, you keep going into this state of like, what if, what if, what if, what if,
yep.
but you don't know if any of those things are going to actually happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're just like, you're paralyzed by the what if.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I think having that sounding board is helpful to, you know, take out of that paralysis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would have been a wild social experiment to actually somehow get the international students together
mm-hmm.
and just have the courage to like start talking.
Yeah.
Just to like understand that there's like seven other people in
going
this
through
room,
the same thing.
That's it. And that might have been enough to be like, okay.
Exactly.
I'm normal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like getting those kids together too, right?
It's tough. It's tough.
It is tough.
To crack somebody like
yeah.
when they're
yeah.
especially in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
Like high performing.
Yes, and school. Highly competitive.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So what happens after year two?
Wow. Well, let's see. I think after year two is when I got, unfortunately enough, kind of distracted, but also focused at the same time. Because, you know, just based on how the courses are lined out, you know, once you do your like basic theory and your basic, you know, group training, once you are past that in your second year, you're getting into the nitty gritty. You're getting into learning like the harmony and the like further ear training, and you're getting into your major. So I picked my major, which was songwriting.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so then I'm getting into songwriting courses. And those are, you know, you're learning about the harmonics of songwriting. So that's like the chords and the tonal qualities and something called key colors. Where, you know, you're working with different scales, like there's the major and minor scale, but there's also Lydian and Dorian and Mixolydian and like all these things that I didn't know existed. So now it's like this beautiful world of possibilities, which is really exciting. And then I also got into the lyric writing courses. And that's where I found like another true love.
Was there any writing leading up to this?
Yeah. So I did, I think the first song I ever wrote was in high school and I actually performed and won it, the school talent show with that song.
Just slide it in there.
Just a quick little, there's my W we were talking about earlier.
Found it.
Yeah. So I wrote a song, it's titled All I See. Mm. It's been a really long time since I've played that song and performed it actually, but I should loop it back into the set because it's actually still a really good song to this day.
Cool.
I wrote it about a boy.
I was
surprised.
I was going to ask you, but I was like, I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that. Mm. And poetry has always been a really big part of my life. Mm. Like even when I was in like elementary school and junior high, I was writing poetry, and reading poetry as well. Mm. I have like a love-hate relationship with Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare. I have two books of his complete works, and then I have multiple books of like the different stories, King Lear, Romeo and Juliet, all those, Midsummer. I do really love Shakespeare, but I'm also like, you're a little bit problematic. So this is like my shame admittance of my love for Shakespeare. But there is also something really beautiful of like the iambic pentameter and like the way the writing flows. And so I took a lot of inspiration from those writings too. Cool. But really dove into it further when I picked my major.
And it clicked.
Yeah.
Like you felt it.
It clicked right away, especially lyrically, right? Some of the harmonics of songwriting I struggled with, I still struggle with. Like every once in a while I'll be sitting down writing something and be like, oh, this chord sounds fine, but like maybe this one's better. I don't know. But the lyrics, I would definitely call myself a lyricist as well. Mm. I just feel like there's so much to be said. And when I was in high school and college, I had felt like I was struggling to say the things I need to say. Mm-hmm. And that writing and that lyricism was an easier way for me to say it. Mm. Putting it in a song. Even though it's so funny because I could read it to you and you would be like, oh yeah, like that, you're saying what you need to say, but it's so much easier if I can just sing it, mm. right? And it just, yeah, it clicked and it flowed and I was able to like take these stories that I, so many stories, like even just like stories of, you know, watching people and writing about it or my personal experiences or the experience of like loved ones and friends and family and finally, you know, put it into this cohesive song, this, mm. this body of work and an art. And, you know, I think the reason that it especially clicked is because I now also had the tools to bring it from, you know, like four lines of random scattered thought and poetry into a song, mm. right? With the tools that I was learning.
It's powerful.
Definitely powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It felt good. It felt very empowering. Mm. There was one course I took. My goodness, I can't remember the name of the course now, but it had to do mainly with lyric writing, and it was with Paula Cole. She's a fairly popular vocalist.
I know nothing.
That's super fair.
You try, but
that's okay. I'm not here to name drop anyway. You know, that's kind of gross. But she was a big mentor for me because she mm. brought out. A more like empathetic, emotional side to my songwriting. Mm. 'Cause like a lot of it was clicking, but then I met her and she was like, okay, but like, cool. you know, what were you feeling in those moments? What did you smell? What did you taste? What did you feel? What did you see? And not like feel emotionally, what did you physically feel? Mm. Right. And when I started tapping into, you know, the way she was teaching me in the senses and connecting all those things, I was able to paint much more vivid imagery and songs.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sounds like just like,
yeah,
just everything's on fire.
Everything is on fire. Mm-hmm. And, but then on the flip side of things, you know, I had mentioned that I was kind of getting distracted too.
Yep.
I had fell in and met some people outside of my school that were not great for me.
Yep.
I developed like an unfortunate relationship with someone and it was fairly negative. And so it was like this weird, mm-hmm. this weird like unbalanced scale of like, you know, all of these things are falling into place and clicking and my music mm-hmm. and my artistry is so beautiful, but there was this person and these relationships that were like kind of weighing me down and I was feeling like those things were getting heavier.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I wrote a lot of good stuff about it.
it's so, you hear about, you know, from the outside, you hear the stories of people being put in bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
And the gold they come up with
yeah.
for their artistry is like profound.
Yeah.
It's just shitty. You got to go through it to actually find it.
Absolutely. I actually just like last week I did a CADA survey, Canadian Arts oh, yeah. Development. They okay. just like sent me an email and they were like, can you do the survey? I love surveys. I think they're very, very important. Everybody, kids, adults, do your surveys, okay? Seriously, though. Like, I
love you. It's like a public service announcement.
It really is. Like, PSA, very important to do the surveys. Like, City of Calgary, you want better communities and you want better opportunities and you want to see the future flourish. You got to fill out those damn surveys.
Fair.
So I did this survey and one of the questions was, if you could go back and change anything in your life, would you? And I was like, whoa.
How much room did, was it a yes, no?
No, they give you space to write about it. Yeah. Well, it is a yes, no, and then they give you the space.
I need another sheet.
Yeah, exactly. I actually think it's going to be a 10-page essay that I need to write about.
You're
this.
Welcome.
My answer is definitely no, though, yeah. because I thought about it and reflected, and I was yeah. like, although I had these like some of these negative relationships and experiences, they shaped me,
yeah.
right? And you learn from those things and you get to create from those things and evolve from those things. Mm. And evolution is something that's also really important to me because I don't really believe that people change, but I do believe that we evolve.
Mm.
You know, granted, you're in a situation where things aren't going well and yet also my artistry
yeah.
is on fire.
Yep.
And it feels like this like negative downward spiral. But then when you come out on the other side of it, you've evolved, mm-hmm. right? Those experiences mm-hmm. shaped you and molded you into something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a wild card if you will get out of those situations. That, you know, like
it really is
your story here. We can sit here, smile and like, totally. And talk. And then there's the other side where,
yeah,
you know,
sometimes it pulls you
in.
Doesn't
work.
Sometimes it pulls you in so hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even after college, when I graduated and I returned to Calgary, I graduated. Surprise.
Not surprised. I was like, oh,
you know, actually Berkeley has a very high dropout rate.
Yeah. The pressure.
The pressure and the price.
Yeah. Oh, there's that piece too.
Yeah. Right. Especially as an international student. Yeah. I had to apply for quite a few grants. Yeah. And again, very blessed to have the support of my mm-hmm. family.
Yeah.
But, you know, I actually finished early too because, you know, they came to me and they were like, we can't do this anymore. And mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I'm going to took some smash summer this. Courses here, yeah. smash it out, finished mm-hmm. early, which was great. Mm-hmm. But even when I came out of college after I graduated, I actually entered another unfortunate and quite abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. And so these things, they do cycle,
yeah.
right? And it is so hard to get out of them. And it's not only hard to get out of maybe one, but it's hard to get out of the cycle of re-entering yeah. a new one.
Yeah. It's yeah. like there's a pattern. Like
there is a pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Breaking those patterns go back to not only, you know, my own lived experience, but also like generational trauma, mm. right? Because mm-hmm. our ancestors really shape how we go about the world and how we move through it and navigate through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was also another unfortunate, you know.
Coming back.
Yeah, it definitely sucked up. Like I returned in December of 2018 and it sucked up about a year of my life. Mm. Yeah, and I was just pulled into this very, very bad relationship.
And not productive? Like was it an unproductive year for you?
Very unproductive. Yeah. I ended up working at a cafe doing like 4 a.m. shifts.
Gross.
Very gross.
And any musical like?
Oh, barely. I just dropped it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Isn't that, you know, that was not that long ago.
No, it wasn't. No.
But to look back at it now and be like, what the?
Absolutely. What mm-hmm. the? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just like so absorbed by this other person mm-hmm. and like what their life was. And, you know, he had a kid and I, for some reason, just because of the relationship, I was like, I could do this. I could have a kid that's not mine. And then I was like, whoa, what was I like 21, 22? Mm-hmm. I just like wasn't even thinking about the logistics of yeah. my life
yeah.
and what I wanted from it. And mm-hmm. I was so absorbed in this relationship. Mm-hmm. It was unfortunate. I'm grateful and lucky that I came out of it though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Finishing school,
mm-hmm.
that school in particular, when you're done, do you feel or did you feel like you could kind of go after whatever you wanted and accomplish something? Like, does it give you a sense of confidence that you were like qualified to operate in this space?
For me personally, no. Yeah.
No?
No.
Did it? What was the...
I feel like it kind of beat me down a little bit.
Mm. So when you were done, you were just like whooped.
Yeah. And you know, actually that is something that they did talk to us about. They were like, you're going to come out of this program and you're going to be like, oh my God, I just immersed myself in a 4-year program. And it was like only music all the time. This, mm. learn this scale, do this performance, mm. go. You're going to be burnt out.
The Berkeley burnout. That's a thing.
Berkeley burnout. That's actually what they call it. Yeah. Yeah. And so I felt just destroyed. Mm. Came out of it and was like, I don't want to touch music ever again. Mm. And I still like, you know, kind of like had some desire to write,
yep.
right? Like that was still there. But I also kind of came back to that lost feeling because not only was I leaving school and feeling burnt out, but I was also, there was a lot going on in the world, you know, while I was living in the States, Trump was elected.
Yep.
That was a really big eye opener for me. Mm. And you know, for what I knew about politics, what I knew about the world. And it brought me back to, you know, those moments when I was in high school and I figured out that I didn't quite fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always felt torn, to be 100% honest, racially between, you know, my dad's side of the family, my mom's side of the family, which up until I graduated, I still hadn't met any of her side of the family except for her mom, her brother, and her brother's one kid. Mm. Right. So I still had no connections there, yeah, really. And so all of that compounded with the burnout, I think, was also a really good opportunity to jump into this relationship.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
just get dragged down.
They say that abusers prey on the weak. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely think that, you know, that burnout, I wasn't feeling it. I was like, music who? Mm-hmm. It wasn't there anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. But after I came out of that relationship, I actually had the opportunity. It was interesting, actually. All of the things after I came out of that relationship, it was like this shadow cleared over me, out of me. Like all of that was gone. And also things started to align a little bit more. Mm. I met my mom's family for the first time. I went out to Toronto and went to a wedding, got to experience that, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. I had never experienced anything culturally from her side of the family like that. Mm. And so that was very eye-opening and so fun.
It's been amazing.
It was so fun. Mm. So much dancing, like even witnessing like an Indian ceremony. I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, I got like I have a vision of what it'd be like, but I'm sure the experience is just like...
and just like so much shiny gold and silver and like everyone's dancing, everyone's having a good time. It's culturally beautiful. And then also after I had stepped out of that relationship, kind of actually near the end, just as I was getting ready to step out of it, my mom introduced me to my percussionist, Bev. They actually used to work together. Which is funny.
Awesome.
And I was getting ready to finally step back into music and applied for the Road to Memphis Blues Challenge here in the city.
Okay.
And basically it's just a music competition where you know, get to perform and then one winner gets chosen to go write and record and play in Memphis.
Cool.
Yeah. And I was like, this is a good introduction. You know, my mom has always been what she calls the pusher, which is funny. I'm like, not that in that sense.
The other one.
But she always calls herself the pusher because she's definitely been, you know, like the person over my shoulder to push me to do the things when I'm not feeling that spark anymore, which is another reason why I'm so grateful to have her in my life. So she kind of pushed me and was like, you should really do this. She was like, you know, what are you're getting out of this relationship. What are you doing with your life?
Bad question.
She's also a big realist. So it's not like a soft, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Mm. It's like, what are you doing with your life? And so she introduced me to my percussionist and immediately we clicked, like right away. I was like, wow, I love this woman. She's great. She's so fun. It's a vibe. We're working. And we played the Road to Memphis Blues Challenge together.
Cool.
It was super fun. And it was the first time I'd been on stage in a while. Mm. Yeah. I had done like some random open mics here and there. But to really get on stage and like do a performance with her. Cool. And it was great. It was really, really good.
Like felt in your natural environment again?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it's revitalizing too, right? Mm. So once I stepped back on that stage and was performing and that confidence got reignited and I was finally like, oh, wait a minute, this is what I'm doing. Mm. But as time went on, so that was our kickstart and we just fell into it after that. Like after that, I quit my job at that cafe, no longer working 4 a.m. ridiculous shifts and like sleeping the rest of my life away. I started working at a consignment store, just making a little bit better money, not doing as horrible work.
Yep.
And we started gigging more. Playing random shows like there's
just around town here.
Yeah, just around town.
Yeah,
there's an app called Stagehand.
Yeah,
and they provide some
that,
great.
Did that work good for you?
It worked really well for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like a really cool tool for anybody like musicians.
Definitely, and getting kickstarted with it was really good. I met some other people in the industry. Mm-hmm. Dan Clapson, he runs the Blue Jays Sessions. Mm-hmm. Shout out Dan. He really had my back in that. He still does, but like first coming up, he like got me in on multiple Blue Jay sessions. I met some artists in the city and they were at first very country oriented. Mm-hmm. He actually told me the other day while we were out for dinner that I was the first artist in the Blue Jay sessions that wasn't a country artist.
No way.
Which I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, thank you, Dan.
High fives.
So, getting introduced to those people, even though it wasn't necessarily my genre, I was just stepping back into it, right? So, it's like putting your feet in really cold water and being like, I don't know yet, right? Mm. And my confidence had been fairly shaken from the relationship I was in. And also my ideas of what I wanted to do with my life had also been shaken by that relationship. And also, you know, my changing, to be honest, my changing political views, my changing outlook on the world, right? Because I'm like, what, 20? I'm going to be 26 this year.
Youngster.
Yeah. I'm just a baby. So when this was all happening, I think I was like 22. Mm. And so I was still, you know, that frontal lobe is still developing. And so I'm still like, I don't know, like everything's weird and wonky. And I'm realizing that there's people that I don't want to surround myself with. And there's people I do. Right. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm navigating that, you know, we're getting back into music and it's really great, but I'm also still kind of shaken and still kind of like, I don't really know what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot. Yeah.
So how does the, since you, you know, you start aligning with like-minded people, mm-hmm. kind of starts filling you up a bit. You're experiencing more opportunities that feel right. Like, does that momentum just continue?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how. Like, for me, it really does feel like things just started to align more.
Yeah.
So that momentum continued. You know, I got some more gigs. I got more exposure.
Where were you playing around the city?
You know, with the stagehand stuff, it
I
was...
I think it was everywhere.
Yeah, it was just like random, like the Ampersand building.
Yep.
You know, the library.
It's a cool building.
It is a really cool building. Mm. I actually really liked that show.
Did it sound good in there? Fun.
Yeah, it sounded really good. Mm. Yeah. Really nice acoustics in there. Mm. And like the way they have like that front area set up for the people to sit.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, library shows.
Yep.
The Ironwood a couple times. Mm. And I had also released a single. I forgot about that.
Slide it in.
So I had released my first single, Something About. And that was probably around the end of, I don't know, the end of that relationship, mm-hmm. kind of when Bev and I were kickstarting.
Yep.
And I worked with, I actually won the Stampede talent search. And with that, I was able to get a free recording session.
Cool. What did that contest look like?
So the Stampede talent search happens during the summer.
Yeah.
I think you have to be under 24, I think.
Okay.
And so it was basically just, you know, have a song prepared, mm-hmm. perform the song, and then you're judged.
Where was it? Where's the competition?
It's on the Stampede grounds at the Boyce Theater.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even know if the Boyce Theater exists anymore. We're back to that. I don't know if these things are real. It's all just a simulation in here.
Where are we? So you won that.
Which yeah.
That was a moment.
Technically, I came in second.
Okay.
Because the person that won was not a musician. Mm. So because they were not a musician, I got the recording session.
Cool.
Yeah. Which awesome. Was awesome.
Yep. Yeah. And so you record this song.
Yes.
Your first release song.
My first ever song released.
Cool.
Well, technically, it's my first solo release.
Okay.
Yeah. I released some music when I was in college with my old roommate.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's called Something About, and it's, when I first wrote the song, it was actually back in college, and the title track, the title of the track was actually Alter Ego. And it was about this alter ego I felt like I had, and this different side of me that I wanted to embrace, but also felt like kind of dangerous. And it was when I was kind of like going through all that stuff with those people that I didn't feel like really aligned with what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But, the song just kind of represents this like, it's almost like a darker side of me. So we recorded it out at OCL, which is an incredible studio.
Cool.
Yeah. Super cool to have that be like my first solo experience. Mm-hmm. Very lucky. And I recorded with Spencer Chain. I think his name is Chain. I'm so sorry, Spencer, if I did that wrong.
Can't be perfect.
I should really know his name by now. Yeah, but okay. we recorded with him and it was a great experience. He had some session musicians come in and work with us.
Awesome.
And, it was cool. So I got that song out and it was received fairly well, you know, because it was my first solo song. I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I don't even think we marketed it really, but it was fun. And mm-hmm. that was like even more of a kickstarter to really get into things.
Yep.
Yeah. And then once I started meeting more people in the scene, I encountered actually someone I went to high school with, and he's a guitar player in the city. And, you know, we kind of started, he started introducing me to the people he knew here. I think he went to McEwen actually. Mm. And so, you know, through him, I met some more musicians and things were just, they were trickling in, and I was getting more involved in the community. And it was really good. And so through him, I met the person I recorded my second single with, Dempsey Bolton. And actually, Dempsey and I are in the studio right now recording another song.
Awesome.
Yeah.
These recording sessions, like, are they, I obviously never experienced them, but you see, like, little documentaries about people making these songs in these studios. Like, does it feel like a movie when you're in there?
Yeah. Like that whole like main character energy, it just is like really channels into those moments for sure. I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is real. Like I'm in a studio, I'm recording. Studio, I've learned over the last couple of years that studio is not necessarily where I thrive though. I do also attribute this a little bit to my training, but I think that when I get in the studio, I start thinking about all of the like theoretical aspects of my vocal performance. And then I get a little bit in my head. So it can be a little bit nerve wracking for me to be in the studio too, but it's also like such a cool experience, right? Like being able to sit in a studio and record a song and like, it's something I wrote and like, that's so cool.
So what happens after you record these songs? Like what's your move now? Obviously you've been around a little bit longer. What do you do? Like what's the goal, I guess, when you record something?
I still didn't. So thinking back at the time, I still didn't really have a goal or direction. I was kind of just like, I knew that it was building towards something, but I didn't know what that something was. I think by the time that song was out, I was maybe 23. And so I was still kind of like,
just young.
I was like, I don't know. Like, I know that I want to be a musician. Do I want to songwrite? Because when I was in college, I was like, all right, I'm going to be a songwriter. I'm going to, you know, get involved with the Nashville people. Maybe I'll even write country music because, like, I grew up listening to country music, too, and I love it. But I also love R&B. And so I was like, yeah, I'll just, like, that's what I'm going to do. And then didn't do that. Came back to Calgary. Fell into that weird hole. So I was still lost, to be honest. Still very, very lost. If I'm being like really transparent, I'm only just coming out of that feeling, I would say, this year.
It's a great time to catch you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So although I'm like releasing this music and doing these recordings, it's like I'm putting it out there into the ether and like maybe some ears will fall onto it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And then I did have my mom helping me through it, right? Cool. Like she retired in 2021, I think. And she's been helping me along this journey.
Cool.
Yeah. And so to have her as the pusher, quote unquote,
yep.
She, I'm sure, might have had some ideas.
Yep.
And I think she could see that I was feeling lost. And so she was trying to help push me in the right direction.
Do you feel like now that if you two are like working together, like whatever the part, whatever you phrase it, gives you some direction of things to try or just things to reach for or just experiences to try and find?
Yeah, I definitely think in those years, for sure, that's what she was doing. I think things have shifted a little bit in the last year and a half.
So now where are you?
Well, right now I feel like I'm finally, it's like that like cocoon moment for me. That's what it really feels like.
Cool.
Yeah.
Which would be rad to timestamp this.
Yeah.
That's where this is. A different conversation, but anyway, keep going.
No, I definitely agree with what you're saying because it feels, it's all that alignment I was talking about too, right? Like everything kind of feels like it's all aligning for me to come out of this cocoon and be like, okay, this is who I am as an artist. These are the things that I'm working towards. So I've got a single that I'm working on right now, hoping to be released next February. And this single is, it's a love story. not everything I write is about love, but I do write a lot about love because it's such a beautiful thing. And I think the universe is so, so inclined towards, but against love. Like the dichotomy of love for human beings is so fascinating. And especially even for myself, because I feel like very often I can be closed off to it. And out of those experiences, like blossom these thoughts and these feelings of love, but I'm not always the most open to the idea of it. But then, you know, I'm also able to explore that in the writing too. And as I'm, you know, still learning, because I believe really truly we're always learning as I'm still learning, you know, things change on my perspective, and it's just like this ever shifting, ever moving thing. Mm. So right now that's what I'm working on. I'm getting more in depth into like what R&B means to me as an artist, and kind of honing and focusing on taking that trajectory and pushing it forward in my artistry. Cool. Because really and truly, I feel like that's where I blossom. You know, R&B is like such a beautiful style, and it kind of, it's interesting because R&B is actually rhythm and blues, right? And a lot of my roots go back to blues music. Mm-hmm. And being able to take what I know of the blues and fuse it more into that like R&B style has also started to come out more in my writing. Cool. Mm. Yeah.
Evolving.
The evolution. It's always there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to catch you at this time.
Yeah, you know, I definitely think so.
Like when I kick this thing off, I'm like, I know nothing.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's not disrespectful. It's just I can't operate by like researching somebody and trying to figure out their story before they get here.
Right.
Because then it doesn't feel authentic.
Yeah. I think that's a great perspective to take on it because, yeah, you don't know someone unless they tell you who they really are themselves.
Yeah. And usually if you're doing the research, you just find the highlights, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
You release something on this day. You graduate on this day. Like all these stupid things that are just moments in time. Whereas
the in between is where the life and the journey and the beauty really happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
This has been cool.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It feels so weird to just like
spew it all. Oh, for sure. I know. To some dude, just to be clear, we've never met. So this is like, I end the show with one question.
Yeah.
When I say Calgary, where does your head go?
Oh, man.
I emailed you this too.
Yes, you did. just so I'm not stuck here being like, you didn't tell me that. No. I definitely think foundations is where my head goes.
Cool.
Yeah. I feel like Calgary is where my foundations are. Mm. I don't necessarily think I would say my roots, though. I feel like my roots are so all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like I feel roots in Boston. I feel roots in Trinidad, even though I've never been. I feel roots here. So I think foundation, like I built who I am here in this city, really and truly.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
The cool thing about meeting you now is because now I get to just watch to see what you do.
Definitely.
That's what this little experience is kind of like a time capsule. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing for me is to actually look back in a decade when this thing's still sitting on YouTube. And you know, you're doing whatever the hell you're doing, wherever you are. And it's going to be really cool for me to actually look back and remember these moments. So
yeah, definitely. I'm excited to look back too.
Because it's just like the evolution of it all, right?
Yeah.
The things you think about now, there's going to be elements that you still believe or still are driving you in whatever year from now. So
yeah,
it's going to be really cool.
Awesome.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much.